No, I was just saying, because both of you pointed out that I'm coughing quite a lot.
Well, you appeared on the Zoom.
True.
And you coughed.
That's a real one, yeah.
But it doesn't it doesn't seem that real.
It sounds
to
me. A bit affected, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
You wouldn't be sent home from school with that cough, for example.
No. Well, no, I think the reason I'm feeling a bit... Because you pointed out that, essentially, I'm having to drink a lot more coffee now because of the Pret...
Because you got your Pret monthly deal.
Because of the Pret subscription. So, for example, I'm coughing a lot. So, and I'm having a lot of...
convulsions?
palpitations? Panic attacks?
Yes, three ticks, but they're all completely internal, so you can't see that I'm having a convulsion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
But I am convulsing right now, for example. But it's purely internal. Quite a lot of acid. I've got quite a lot of acid going on. I've catch people up on it. I've joined 2023 in a way. I now subscribe for. I stream coffee. I subscribe to Pret. Isn't it? It's the Netflix of hot beverages now. This is what's happening. What it means is I have to hit those coffees hard. Pret is open bloody early and it closes quite late. It's open for 12 hours.
And this bit of recording is one of your few bits of respite, isn't it?
Yeah.
But even then, you've got them stocked up. I think I can see at least 12 lined up in front of you.
Yeah, I've got the 12. No, so you know, I'm getting a lot of hot sweats, night sweats in the day. Actually, so I'm having a night sweat right now. I've got day terrors, so I've got some terrors happening right now, obviously delirium tremens. Is that a thing?
It is a thing.
Isn't that to do with alcohol withdrawal?
Alcohol withdrawal, yeah.
They've given you alcohol withdrawal. That's a strong coffee, isn't
They've given me... Well, that's the syrups. Okay. That's the amount of syrups I'm having to...
You went for the caramel tremens, did you, this morning?
Caramel tremens.
It should come with a warning, really.
So, yeah. So within 3 days, you can't tolerate coffee. That's the irony of the coffees.
Yeah, well, that's why the business model works so perfectly.
Yeah, exactly.
I watched a video online, Henry, where a man... Yeah. Hadn't drunk water for 3 years.
Okay.
So had obviously imbibed liquid, but hadn't drunk water for 3 years. Then his friend forced him to drink some water because they found out that he hadn't drunk water for 3 years. Yeah. And as soon as he started drinking it, he just started spewing.
Well, that's what that can happen. No, that's because your body rejects what it actually needs at that point.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you're probably in a similar situation. Like if you went cold turkey on the hot coffees you're having... Day in, day out, it would be worse than what you're currently experiencing.
So there's no way out, is what you're saying.
But what you've said just in reference to cold turkey has reminded me that I'm having to start eating their Christmas sandwiches now.
They're only included in the special deal from June to August, and then from February to March. Is that right?
That's right. That's it. So I've got to get them in now, and I've got to. Obviously, they buy. It's all a way of protecting their financial model, which is they buy way too many turkeys than they'll need.
Well, they slaughter year round, don't they? They're famous for that. They say we slaughter 365. I don't know why they're proud of that.
Yeah.
It makes for a good slogan. As soon as you interrogate, it doesn't make any sense.
They also say that somewhere within the Pret Empire, a dagger is always falling. A dagger is always...
into the back, because they knife them in the back, don't they? It's a very unconventional slaughterhouse.
Jesus Christ. Fucking hell. Jesus, sorry. So I'm now crying. Basically,
but out of your mouth, oddly.
That's right. Essentially, what happens is what I have now is a constant sort of roiling acid.
You don't seem to need glasses though this morning. Is your vision completely cleared up?
My vision is cleared up. Alkaline eyes. So my eyesight has never been so good. In fact, I can see through croissants.
to the next croissant.
To the next croissant along. So what happens is the roiling acid every day, that's getting a bit higher up my esophagus.
Yeah.
So which means I then need more croissants to temper it down. Obviously, croissants are alkaline.
So eventually, a bung of croissants is going to be fired by lukewarm acid directly into the base of your skull.
That's
instant death.
Well, I've already, yeah, they've prepared me. You know, I have, they've provided me with prep counsellors who've taught me through those final stages. But yes.
Oh, yeah, there's a leaflet. I've seen the leaflets, yeah.
Yeah, there's a leaflet. But in the meantime, I'm having to keep, just to manage the acid, I'm having to eat the pastry. So I don't know if you've been to a prep, but the pastries go up in alkalinity from the left to right.
Okay.
Well, the pH levels go up from Raisin Swirls on the left.
Mm-hmm.
They're pH 4.
To the bicarbonate au chocolat on the right.
The pan au milk of magnesia.
That's right. And then eventually the cinnamon bismol, which is just a shot that you take. Yeah. So, what was that, Ben?
Sorry?
Ben didn't say anything. That'll be one of your auditory hallucinations that's kicking.
Yeah, that'll be an auditory. Yes, that'll be an auditory hallucination.
That might make the podcasting quite hard.
Yeah. So I've been told that I will see three of most people. Talk to the one on the left and or the one with the biggest croissant hat. If ideally those are the same, if they're the same, if the person on the left has the biggest croissant hat, you need to get a pound raisin down you within the next half an hour, or you are in deep trouble. Yeah, so I'm. Yes, it's kind of like. It's you know I think these are the either the birth pangs or death throes of me entering 2023. I think in terms of the way the economy is now structured, isn't it? Which is. I think what's happening is
you're subscribing to death.
We're all
subscribed to death, Mike.
That's true.
It's the one thing you can't unsubscribe from.
Yeah.
Oh.
But Henry's getting it in HD. He's getting 4K.
I'm getting 4K. I'm getting 5 free coffees a day.
I've got a question for you, Henry.
Yeah.
So obviously, I was made last week aware of your subscription to coffee.
Yeah.
From Pret. Then yesterday I saw you doing a tweet, which is quite rare for you.
Yes.
And I thought, here he goes. Henry's trying to go viral again.
Yeah, I was literally trying to go viral. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I missed that. That didn't appear on my sort of twice weekly tweet looks.
Well, a spoiler for Mike, it's gone hugely viral. We're talking 2 retweets and about 14 likes.
Whoa.
This is big stuff.
Yeah, so we're talking double figures.
Yeah.
I tried to go to... But Ben, did you... I didn't know that you'd spotted the tweet. Did you join in with... did you give me some support there? The old... did he jump in with a...
Well, shall I tell you why I didn't, Henry?
You bastard. Because you thought the content was quite lame?
Yeah. Well,
should I have a look at it?
Well, genuine question before I go on to the other question I had. So what the tweet was a picture of a bicycle that Henry had rented from a
through the London
street... sort of rental service.
Yeah, great start.
Yeah.
And he secured his coffee in the kind of basket area with some bungee cords.
Can I just say, this is so 2023, isn't it? Everything you're saying, a London hire bike, a coffee.
Bungee cords.
Bungee. It's so tech guys on his way to a tech meeting, isn't it?
It did genuinely make me feel a pang of like, that I slightly missed city living.
Exactly. That's exactly what's... That, to be honest, I think that's what my tweet was. It was probably on some level a humble brag about I'm just loving my city life at the moment.
Soho. Battersea. Old Southwark. Streatham. Vauxhall. Tufnell Park. Barnet, technically. Madame Tussauds.
The Cenotaph.
Halfords. Zone 5.
Mind the gap between your provincial existence and this metropolitan utopia. Next stop, urban enlightenment.
The glamorous London life of Henry Packer.
Hang on a second. Is that Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber? No, it can't be. Because you're Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber. I know.
Yeah.
It's London. I'm addicted to hot coffee that is slowly destroying me from the inside and the outside.
Anyway, the thing that I was not sure about was that there were three images of this.
Was that too many?
But they were all of the same thing.
Did you think I'd lost control? Did you think it was like a butt tweet? Like a butt dial? Or like, he can't have meant this.
He can't have meant to do this.
Was it too many... I wanted to. It was too many photos, wasn't it? It wasn't a good enough. It wasn't an interesting enough thing to do.
Strap the coffee to a bike. And then what's the? Was there text to accompany this?
Okay, I found myself in a situation where I'm now sort of addicted to prep coffee, it's hard to tell whether it's a psychological addiction or a physical addiction or a financial addiction.
You've rented a bike so you can cycle between preps.
Exactly. So I've had to rent.
So when you've drained one,
so I can drain one on the way to the next one. So I'm constantly having to pop out and get prets now during the day. So I've worked out that I can hire one of these a Santander. By the way, great bikes and an even better investment portfolio. I tell you what, when I put my bike back and run the docks, I don't just feel like I'm securing the bike. I feel like I'm securing my and my family's future.
And the Spanish economy.
And more importantly than that, Iberian finance. And of course, that means more ham for all of us, doesn't it, eventually?
Rebuilding the Armada, one account at a time.
And just to rub it in, siphoning money off the very people we'll be invading. Yeah. So anyway, I found myself in a situation where I had an iced oat latte.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find I can tolerate.
Drink of the summer,
I stopped. Yeah, drink of the summer.
So I've got a question about the iced oat latte.
Yeah.
It looked to me as if you'd bought it from a shop that wasn't Pret.
That's a good point. It wasn't Pret. I forgot that. You're right. It wasn't Pret. Oh my God, what's happening to me? I didn't even need to buy that one. I could have got a free
one. What is wrong with me?
Well, that was what I was thinking. I thought he's subscribed to coffee, but he's now going to other coffee shops to buy auxiliary coffees on top of the already subscribed coffees.
I find it so hard to deal with the Pret subscription that sometimes I just need to try and relax and just get out and have a coffee somewhere else that isn't Pret and just try and gather myself so I can face the next Pret. Yeah, no, you're right. It was a non-Pret. Anyway, I was trying to cycle it home. I've realised it's very hard to cycle and hold a coffee at the same time.
Especially with a baguette under one arm.
especially with a baguette under one arm. And, of course, a Pret barista on the back, because I now have a Pret barista assigned to me who follows me wherever I go.
Just to monitor the data flow.
Exactly. Because it's the data that that's what really matters to them, obviously. Mm. It's how long will it take me to die? That's the information they can then sell to Santander, who can use it to help their Armada mission. Yeah. So each London Santander bike comes with a little little bit of bungee cable at the front, which you can use to secure, I don't know, something like a laptop, a Falkraven bag, other 2023 stuff. a Zendaya calendar.
Lewis Capaldi.
So I genuinely thought the way they were going to solve this, I'll tie my coffee to the thing. I thought I was very unlikely it was going to work. But I created a kind of tension thing where I bent the bungee cord around itself, twisted it loads and loads, and sort of yanked it back and created a kind of tense, a kind of cradle, a tension cradle. I inserted the iced latte into it. Can I say, this is definitely, the way I'm thinking, the way I'm talking about this, is someone that's deep into their Pret subscription. It's just absolutely unhinged, isn't it? I'm talking about creating suspension cradles for coffee.
Well, you created a kind of self-trebuchet of hot coffee. Well, of cold coffee.
Of cold coffee. Well, that's what I thought it was going to be. It was going to trebuchet into my face. But of course, now that I'm on the Pret subscription, I'm drinking more coffee than could be sustained by a whale, a tiger, any of the big five safari animals. So when I was doing that, I thought, God, I'm so 2023 at the moment. Society's going to love this. I'm just going to shove it down. This is going to be the viral text. I'm not even going to be the tweet. I mean, for a text to go viral, it's difficult. You've just got to send it to a lot of people.
Yeah. That's mostly known as a leak, I think.
That's a leak. It's something So I thought, I'll shove it on Twitter. This could be the viral one. Will this make it home? Will I make it home with the coffee? And I thought, a bit like that woman who got on a plane to South Africa, sent a tweet, got on a plane to South Africa, arrived in South Africa and realised she'd been cancelled.
Mm.
I thought I was going to have the opposite. Get on a bicycle, cycle 50 minutes home.
You're going to be made.
And realise that I'm made. And I was expecting, I didn't even know what happened. Ben knows, Ben's done viral tweets, but I didn't even know what happens to your phone. You know, lights go off. You see those numbers spinning like a sort of spinning like a slot machine, don't you? The numbers going, different colours start appearing.
Money falls out the bottom of the phone.
Non-fungible tokens start firing out the bottom of the phone.
Yeah. Someone hands you a free cocktail.
Yeah, but none of that. In fact, I had so little interest that I thought, do you ever have this? You try and send a tweet that goes viral, doesn't get much interest, and you think, God, maybe I'll just delete it. Pretend it didn't happen.
How did it compare stats-wise to the old Christmas cutlery tweet? More traction?
I think less. Well, anyway, the main reason I did that tweet was it was one of those tweets that asked a question, so it was like, will I manage to get it home okay? And I didn't think literally no one then asked, because I then arrived home and took another photo. Yeah. Of me having arrived with it successfully, literally no one in the comments asked, did you get home okay? Not only that, and you know what? The internet and everyone else out there, if you want to see that now, you can't. I'm not going to show it. No matter what happens now, I'm not showing that photo.
Were there any comments? Or was there just an advert for Betfred or something like that?
I think there might have been a Betfred ad. I don't think there were any comments last time I checked. Also, not only that, this was arrogant. As I was cycling it towards the docking bay, successfully with the coffee, I actually filmed a short film, which I thought, obviously once it's gone viral, then there'll be subsidiary interests, you know, things like subsidiary films, mini features. So, fine, okay, I did a little TikTok dance thing. It was just me singing "The Coffee Made It" to the tune of "Final Countdown." The coffee made it. No spillage. Hello, 2023. Yay. Be kind to each other. Ooh. I thought there'd be a nice message in it. I put a nice message in there. I was already reaching out to a lot of mental health charities and stuff. I thought that this is going to be ethical capitalism. You know what I mean? I'm going to make money out of it. I'm not going to pretend I'm not. But
you've got to think about the brand at the same time, haven't you?
The brand needs to be solid. And the brand, these days, people want their brands to actually have social responsibility as well. So
these days, people actually want their brands to pretend to have social responsibility as well, don't they? That's the thing they like.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. But it wasn't to be. But I do have a short film on my phone. It's me cycling along with it, singing a little tune.
And what would it take for you to release that?
Okay, if we can get it up to... Well, what's the minimum amount of likes or something for it to be viral?
Good question.
Does it have to be in the millions?
No, surely. Or how about trending?
I don't know if there's...
You'd settle for trending, would you?
I'd settle for trending, Ben. What do you think about
I think
that?
We might have to reach out to some influencers and try and get them to push it for you.
I do think I can name an influencer, apart from Andrew Tate, but I don't think that's the route we want to go down.
I think he's in prison now, in Romania.
You can't imprison Wi-Fi, can you?
You think there's great Wi-Fi in Romanian prisons?
I think there is. I think as long as you're online, you're in the world. You know, walls can't contain the kind of influence I'm going to have. I'll say right now, I will be prepared to visit a Chinese factory as well.
Sorry, what do you mean?
Okay. What, to give it a positive spin? Or
I'm prepared to be filmed visiting a Chinese factory, if it helps.
Glad handing with the People's Party elite.
Yeah.
Kiss a couple of Chinese babies.
Yeah, I'll do that. Because it's obviously going to be, pan-global, isn't it, once it does go massive? It might end up being a bit like... That folk musician guy who became huge in South Africa and didn't even know.
Yeah, I've forgotten his name.
Glimmer Man.
What do you mean, Glimmer Man? I've looked it up, and apparently Glimmer Man is an American buddy cop action comedy film from 1996, starring Steven Seagal.
Yeah, it's huge in South Africa.
That was a folk band.
As a folk band, though, yeah. It was interpreted as a folk band in South Africa.
They span a folk band out of the buddy cop action comedy, didn't they? It's quite unusual.
Yeah. No, there's a really good documentary about a guy who's... Mike, you'd love it. It's really, like, boring and to do with guitars.
Sugar Man. Searching for Sugar Man.
Ah, okay. Sugar yes, Man, I know the one you mean. I've not
so he
seen
became
it.
Huge. Okay. So
I'll get involved.
Yeah,
it's really good.
But I am disappointed about that coffee tweet, though, because I did think... Sometimes I do a tweet and I think, this is what the internet's about, because it's like, it's lighthearted, but it's got this kind of silly quality to it, which is, will you get it home? Will you get home or not? It's like, it'll be a real relief to people, like tech people.
Everyone's talking about it.
People working... People talking finance, their jobs are so serious, Mike, whereas this is just a little bit of lightness in the day, a little bit of light, a little bit of silly fun from this. Do you know what I mean? And literally no one gave a shit. There were people who work in tech who saw it and they went, fuck that. That's made me more stressed about tech and about data mining. And
if I see him cycling past Silicon Roundabout, I'm going to lass a bloody outlassie at his face from my 14th floor window.
Right in his face. Yeah, and in fact, let's invest more in the oat latte cannon and let's take this fucker down.
The coffee made it no spillage. Hello, 2023. Yay. Be kind to each other. Ooh.
Henry got his coffee home, and we'll get you home. British Airways. In partnership
with Omni Bungee Cord.
With Omni Bungee Cord, Santander, and Henry Packer Tweets Incorporated. The first tweet to be so viral, it's become its own company.
Henry's tweet didn't go viral, and neither will you. With Dettol.
But how will people know what that's about? Because they won't know that if my tweet didn't go viral, they won't know. I mean,
stop poking holes in my ideas.
Bringing the boys back home, just like Henry's coffee, the British Army. Ben made a good point, actually, while we were off air, which was one of my mistakes with that tweet was I tweeted, did the coffee maker back home? I should have tweeted, will the coffee maker back home, to make it more of a live.
But you're over it, though,
actually,
right? This isn't something.
Oh no, I'm not fixating on this. But I do have a set of quite tragic. I have a set of photos in my phone I've just seen of me arriving triumphantly with it. I've just been looking at them and the video. So that video will be released.
But you haven't
I think
posted
if I
any
get
of that
over
right stuff, right? You didn't.
No,
I just
no,
looked,
because
I just
didn't get
saw
enough interest.
Your triple photograph tweets.
Yeah, too many photos. Fine.
No, it's a good idea because very few people bother to put an aerial view, do they, of their of the object they're tweeting about.
I thought side on, top view, I thought people would be interested. Anyway, I've got the video, right? I will release that video if I get...
You're sounding a bit ransomy now, Henry.
Okay, I'm not making threats to anyone, but put it this way, I won't hurt any of your families. If I get 100 retweets. I'm not saying I will if I don't. I'm just saying I definitely won't if I do.
So 100 retweets triggers the video, does it?
100 retweets triggers the video. Okay. And that goes online for the world to see.
Well, speaking of things that are held together by bungee cord, it's time to turn on the beam machine. This week's topic, as sent in by Ben from Cardiff.
What? From the past or future?
The concept of place travel.
Whoa.
What?
Ben, I will hunt you down and stop you. There can only be one. Yeah, this wasn't from me. It's from another Ben from Cardiff. And this is this week's topic, which is whales, but the animal.
Okay. That's on the internal pistons. We love. Have either of you ever done the whale tour?
Never seen a whale. Never seen a whale IRL.
I've never seen a whale.
No, I've never seen a whale. I've seen other cetaceans. Is that the word?
Could be.
Don't know.
Don't want to show off too much, but I've seen a porpoise.
I've seen a porpoise. I've seen a dead porpoise, which is sad. I've seen a few seals.
A seal doesn't count.
No? I love a seal.
How is a seal related to a whale in any way, apart from being underwater?
It's an aquatic mammal.
Mammals? Yeah.
I guess masters of the ocean.
Yeah, but the idea that a whale is a mammal is one of those things where you're like, yeah, I know it's a mammal, but it's not a mammal, is it?
Come on, it's a fish.
It's a great big floating bar of pre-soap. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Because a seal has got a face, right? A whale doesn't have a face. I think to be a mammal properly, you've got to have a face.
You do think a whale's got a face?
It doesn't really have a face. It's got one eye on each side of its head.
But so is a horse.
Yeah, but the horse's eyes are on the front as well, aren't they? They are when I draw them. The front. Hang on. A horse can have blinkers. So, does that suggest they're on the side?
If yeah, you can blink. You could blinker a whale,
but you could only visor a seal.
Or sunglasses, Mike.
Yeah. So that means only a seal could be employed safely and legally as a welder
or Las Vegas croupier.
Yeah.
Did you know that all whales are descended from wolves? It's true.
It goes the other way around with those guys, does it?
It's true.
So a sort of sea slug crawled out of the oceans and turned into a wolf, and then one of the wolves decided to get back in.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Okay.
I was going to ask that, actually, which way around did it go in terms of, did they start in the water?
Well, everything started in the water.
Is that why a whale was able to bite off Captain Ahab's leg? Is that what it is?
They were in the sea, they then became wolves, then they became aquatic wolves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they became whales.
Yeah.
And I'm not bullshitting you, this is true.
Okay.
And you can tell because in their bodies, they've got like, what's the word? Things that are left over from when, so, you know, we've got like
vestigial.
Vestigial.
Have they got vestigial howls? Is that what we're listening to in whale songs? They're vestigial howls.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, that is quite howl-like. That's extraordinary. Are you checking that's true?
I am. It's not. I thought.
Right. It feels like a. This could be bollock. Mageddon.
Are you going to do a self bollock?
Well, not yet. But I thought I would just turn on Google and it would like just be like, yes, you are correct. But
is it quite complex?
Here we go.
It's actually a load of balls.
Well, analysing the relationships of ancient meat-eating mammals in 1966, however. The evolutionary biologist Lee Van Valen was struck by the similarities between an extinct group of land-dwelling carnivores called Mesanichids and earliest known whales. Often called wolves with hooves, Mesanichids were medium to large predators with long toothy snouts and toes tipped with hooves. So they came from a hoofed wolf. It's really obvious. I mean, you look at it, don't you, now?
I'm sorry. It was the 60s. Why wasn't this guy having fun?
That is fun.
That was his form of fun.
It was 1966. England were winning the World Cup, and what was he doing?
He was chopping open a old hoofed wolf.
So hoofed wolves,
and they used to eat mollusks.
It does sound really like potentially some quite acid infused evolutionary biology.
It actually sounds like a bat, sort of, yeah, like a 60s band that maybe didn't make it huge.
The hooved wolves.
Yeah. Imagine a wolf galloping.
Or a whale, for that matter.
Strange idea. Imagine a whale galloping.
Imagine a whale galloping. Here he comes with his hooves like drums.
So the way evolution works, isn't it, is through accidents. So does that mean a hoofed wolf would have been probably like, I imagine they would have been, because as soon as you're hoofed, you can do versions of dressage, can't you? They would have been sort of promenading, perhaps.
They'd have been doing dressage, and one of them fell over the pier, but because of a mutation, had grown up with a blowhole that he didn't know what to do with.
Yeah.
Everyone else in the pack's been teasing him his whole life.
Well, he had been using it to fire a ping pong ball out at the end of the act.
Yeah.
Which he found demeaning.
Yeah.
And what do you know, lands in the water, splosh. And he's away.
Yeah, because that's how evolution works, as far as I'm aware, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then his children didn't have hooves anymore?
Yeah.
That's how it works?
Yeah, that's how it works.
They were immediately vestigial, with it away.
But this, we've talked about this before. This is what I don't understand about evolution, right? I know it takes millions of years, But there are weird stages, aren't there, where you're a hoofed wolf that's somewhat well-like.
Well, so the offspring that doesn't have the hooves is born, because of another accident, is born without hooves, actually thrives, because they're not getting their hooves snagged in kelp all the time.
Yeah, but that's
they're not giving away their location to the plankton they're hunting by clippity-clopping along the seabed, and that becomes the sort of alpha, and then the most successful breeder.
It's nonsense. I don't think evolution's real. I don't. I'm saying it.
It is a lot easier just to stick with the Old Testament, isn't it? It's a lot easier sometimes.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we've not covered Jonah, have we?
Oh, big whale. Big whale guy.
Huh. Big whale guy.
What was the story there? He was in the sea. He fell off a boat. Was he saved by the whale?
He was thrown off a boat.
By?
By the fellow sailors. Come on, Benjamin.
What had he done wrong then to be thrown off a boat?
He was fleeing God.
Oh.
Because God had told him to preach to one of Israel's enemies. Can't remember who.
Iran. Hezbollah.
God had told him to preach to Hezbollah. And he said, I don't want to do that. And Jonah took the unwise decision to try and run away from God on a boat.
Yeah, he didn't get the omnipotent bits, did he?
No. Big storm follows the boat. The sailors know something's up. We think you're the reason there's this big storm, and lulls him off.
I see.
But then God rescues him by sending a whale on a, you know, as the precursor to the RNLI. Scoops him up. And he's got a lovely 3 days just to chillax in a whale's belly.
In a sort of early Airbnb, isn't it?
Early Airbnb. It's a bit like a sort of night train cabin, that kind of thing, folded down.
Yeah, cozy.
Turns into a bed. Probably a free, quite stale croissant first thing in the morning. Quite an unpleasant instant coffee, but it's definitely better than nothing.
And it's romantic, isn't it? The idea is romantic.
The idea is romantic. It's nice chat fuel. It's very much a bring your own bog roll situation, but
a lot of whale music as well being played.
A lot of very high volume whale music. That was the thing. That's what turned it around for him.
Yeah. I imagine it's also one of those ones where it's very hard to get all the lights to work out which how to turn all the lights on. There's one button which turns all the lights on at the same time, isn't it, in a whale's stomach? But there's individual ones for each side of the
problem is there's a bedside light
of the bed.
The bedside light is right next to the light for the lights for the entire room and the room next door. So if you switch the right one,
it's actually,
if you're the wrong one, then you're irritating the people next door and they're banging on the wall from the next whale and it's
So
it takes a
They have evolved an internal volume knob, haven't they? Which is a kind of a kind of bony protuberance.
That's right.
But you can only turn it up, so you can only turn the whale music up.
The only way is up.
So,
which is
so
what the just, only way the song "The Only Way Is Up" is about.
Exactly.
But you think it's good value for money, but then they hit you with the cleaning fee.
He lost his deposit for sure.
Yeah. So you know, there are pros and cons, aren't there? But I'd say overall...
Well, sometimes it's just about getting away, isn't it? You know?
Doesn't really matter where you are, does it?
Sometimes it's just about getting away.
A few games of Uno, you know, chill out.
And obviously what's nice is that you are self-catering. You know, you've got that control. You're not in a hotel.
Well, every so often a ton of krill just arrives, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly, a ton of krill. And what can you do with that krill? You know, you can...
Well, you can fricassee it. You can have it raw. You can ferment it in some whale stomach acid if you're feeling experimental.
Well, that's the thing, because you do get people complaining about the fact that the krill is being slowly digested.
Yeah, and so are your trousers.
You know, you'll read these reviews on Airbnb going, and actually on day three, I realised that my family are slowly being digested. My trousers are almost entirely gone now.
And under my trousers, there's just me. That's it. That's the next layer.
And you sort of get a free anal bleaching treatment, don't you? but unfortunately, the whole rest of you is also bleached at the same time.
So it doesn't really show. There's no contrast. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've then got to put yourself into a tanning salon when you get home so that you can get that bit of contrast. You've got to make sure you've got your anal shaded monocle so that bit doesn't get tanned. So you're back to square one. And then finally, you can actually get back and, you know, perform what you call your annual holiday slideshow to your family and friends.
Yeah.
And those are the hidden costs.
By the way, if you are looking for a an anti-bleach clouded anal monocle, they do sell them in the travel boots and the travel section of a boots in an airport. Always like that. Does.
There is a markup though if you get them there.
Yeah, if you get them in the airport, you're a fool to yourself because they're more than three times the price. You can get them online.
But again, I will say, so, you know, there's obviously pros and cons, but I think it's that sense that you're in your own space, which is what I prefer. It's what I used to do, which is go to, the hotels, those big international underwater hotels, which is obviously 300 or 400 blue whales strapped together.
With a series of connecting tunnels, mezzanines, and a jellyfish monorail.
You can just feel a bit soulless, can't they?
Well, especially when you get there and you look at the photos on the website and you get there and you realise the photos of the blue whales, you've actually booked in for a sperm whale and there's no upgrades. So you're in this much smaller thing.
And a lot of the time, you know, the hotel's not actually finished yet. This sperm whale's still a bloody wolf. It's not even evolved into a
hoofed wolf.
I've just got a hoofed wolf here. It's no good to me. I haven't bloody finished it.
So what happens to Jonah when Jonah gets puked back out again?
Yeah.
Is the vibe like,
he's
God is great?
He's reflected and he's worked out he's got to do as he's bloody well told. So he does as he's bloody well told.
He doesn't reflect a bollock God.
He doesn't, but he does carry on getting sulky. He's a sulky old sod, is Jonah. Because he does a job, yeah, and then he goes off for a beach holiday somewhere. And then he's all hot and bothered. So God grows him a tree. I can't remember what it is. A tree or a big bush or a rock, something to give him some shade. And he gets annoyed about that. And then God destroys that.
Really?
Yeah.
Those Old Testament biblical stories quite end up standing a bit like, you know, when a six-year-old starts telling you a story. And it's like, kind of, it's finished now. We've done the person got saved by...
Exactly.
No, then he went
exactly,
to a beach
he's
and
done
then
it.
God
he's
made
the
him
thing.
A tree and
he
then he went in the tree.
He was in trouble and he was naughty and he got told off and he thought about it and he said he was naughty and he said he was sorry. He did what he was supposed to do. Second chance, tick, done. And then an epilogue about him being all sulky, actually, after all.
It sounds like he's in a kind of odd couple relationship with God.
Yeah.
Oh, they're like cat and mouse, those two.
I mean, he was asking for a smoting, basically.
Yeah. And how did he end up? Where did he end up?
For smiting.
I think he ended up just wittering away, being a sulky old sod, getting bollockings from God every 5 minutes.
Bollocked by God.
God and Jonah. They just can't get along.
One's a sailor and one's an omnipotent being. Will they get on? They're having a whale of a time.
Yeah, and then you're into season six and there's a will they, won't they element and you're like, I'm not sure I'm into this actually. I prefer it when they kept it platonic. It's all got a bit soapy now.
They're like chalk and omniscient cheese.
There's the fun thing about the Bible, isn't there? That there's the headline stories that everyone knows.
Yeah.
And then often there's a bit at the end of that story that you don't really go into in Sunday school or whatever, because it's just a weird bit on the end.
Yeah.
So the bit after Noah, so Noah gets...
The messaging gets a bit unclear.
Yeah. So Noah gets, like, on the boat, whatever, the waters recede, and it's time to get on with life again and repopulate the earth, I guess. And then there's a bit where he gets off the boat, plants some vines, harvests the grapes, makes some wine, gets drunk, goes in a tent, takes all his clothes off, and then exposes himself to his son. It's so weird.
Yeah. There's a lot of that kind of stuff in the Old Testament, isn't it?
Well, people were they just monks, just surreptitiously slipping in quite good, gritty HBO dramas into the middle of Bible stories? Is that what it was? Ignore the bit about the flood. Like the actual, they've hidden it. It's in between the bit about the flood and that guy with the big fish. If you read the bit, that's where it is. That's where episode 4 is of season 2. It gets really dark. It's brilliant.
Yeah, because a lot of it is like very clear moral message. I understand what the point is of this. Get it. And then there's bits where you just go, what is the message here then?
It's the original Diamond Harbour. That's what it is.
Diamonds in their eyes and diamonds in the sea. Come with us and meet the families of Diamond Harbour.
Come and meet the families of ancient Judea. So what's the moral of the Jonah thing? That God is forgiving, but you should ultimately do what he says.
Yeah, do as you bloody told, mate. I'll give you a second chance. Don't push your luck.
I think it's quite a good message.
The Bible. Don't push your luck. That's the strap line.
Here, in the depths of the Atlantic Ocean, it's amazing to think that one day all of these majestic whales will be crabs.
It's time to read your emails.
When you send an email, you must give thanks to the postmasters that came before.
Good morning, postmaster. Anything for me?
Just some old shit.
When you send an email, this represents progress, like a robot shoeing a horse.
Give me your horse.
My beautiful horse.
Time to read your emails. We have an email from someone who's called themselves the local Yorkian Bean. They're from York.
Okay.
They say, cast your minds back to a year ago, July 2022, when listeners arriving at the Jorvik Viking Centre were denied a Pompidou discount. That's true. We remember that. I want to wish my sincere apologies for this as a local Yorkian, and I am disgusted by that behaviour. However, I work in the building right next door. The Van Gogh immersive experience.
We'll slice your family's ears off for just $7.99.
We can sew the ear back on. This isn't an ear, it's an ear-shaped rubber. Exactly, it's better than an ear. You can erase stuff with it now.
How immersive do you want to get with Van Gogh? I want to get quite immersive.
I mean, is looking at a real sunflower a Van Gogh immersive experience?
Maybe someone pushes you into it.
In order to bring peace and love back to my disgruntled and disappointed Yorkshire, I shall offer a concession ticket price to the Van Gogh immersive experience, £11 rather than £15, along with a free VR viewing at hearing the word Pompidou.
Nice.
What's the Van Gogh connection to York? Will there be a connection?
Is it that he never went to York? Is that the thing?
He famously never went to or heard of York.
Anyway, so it seems like we've got a new Pompidou discount destination, which is exciting.
That's tremendous news.
However, they write, please note that the risk is yours when speaking the word Pompidou, because it entirely depends whether I'm working that day or not.
Oh, that's exciting. Roll the dice.
Also, does this person, who seems to probably be a cashier, have the authority to issue this discount? That's what I was wondering. Then I read the following sentence. Please also do not share my name, as my boss already despises me.
We're dealing with a maverick.
We really are. I can't imagine it's going to win many points with the boss giving away discounted entry to the Van Gogh experience.
But sometimes you've just got to feel alive, haven't you? Sometimes you've got to throw caution to the wind.
Yeah.
So what else did the immersive experience do for you?
We've got to go there.
We have to go and find out.
Yeah.
Experience what it's like to have a brother called Theo by meeting our actual Theo. Theo is played by an actor. His real name is not Theo.
We just got to investigate. They've dangled a carrot. I'm interested.
Anonymous emails. Dear Beans, she's got a pet in the freezer story after we talked about pets in the freezer last week.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Nice to end on something like something that's really quite heartwarming. Yeah, lovely.
I had a beautiful African pygmy hedgehog. Good start, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who unfortunately developed wobbly hedgehog syndrome.
Oh, no, no.
This is a real thing.
Not wobbly hedgehog.
No. It's not.
Well, she says it's a real thing.
Wobbly hedgehog syndrome.
It is a real thing. It's, I tell you what, it gets a lot less fun after the name. Wobbly hedgehog syndrome is a progressive degenerative neurological disease of African and European hedgehogs. Been noticed with increasing frequency since the mid-90s.
What's causing it?
Was it the release of the single Park Life?
I did my best to adapt her vivarium.
Her what?
Okay, we'll take her word for it.
What's a vivarium?
Couldn't tell you. Is that like the name of a... That sounds like it's the name of a hedgehog, homemade hedgehog dwelling. I'm imagining a large glass pyramid.
It's basically a... It's a sort of like a lizard tank sort of vibe.
Okay, so I did my best to adapt her vivarium, but it came to a point where it was kinder to put her to sleep. Around this time, a young lady posted on a hedgehog group I belonged to saying that she was learning taxidermy and that hedgehogs are difficult to come by. She understood that people might find it weird or offensive, but if anyone would be willing to donate theirs to her in the future, she would appreciate it. When the time came, I had my lovely little hedgie put to sleep, gave her one last cuddle, and when we returned from the vet, I wrapped her up and I put her in the freezer. Now, it's not actually legal to send a dead, frozen animal in the post.
Doesn't stop people sending them to us, though, does it?
Yeah, when we got that huge frozen hoofed wolf last week.
We did, didn't we?
Still,
yeah, that was a nightmare. And I've got a bag of cormorants that I don't know what I'm going to do with. That's my afternoon gone.
I ended up wrapping her in a huge bundle of bubble wrap, as well as layers of thick plastic, and bound her in with a lot of waterproof tape in an attempt to not let her defrost or seep through the packaging. My heart pounding, I headed to the local post office to send her via special delivery, convinced they were going to ask me why my parcel was so cold. I spent the evening and the next morning worrying that I would be contacted by Royal Mail and heavily fined for my deception. As it turned out, she arrived safe and sound and still frozen, despite it being early summer.
Well, I mean, safe, yeah, to a degree safe. I mean, still dead. Is that safe? Is that safe and sound, still dead?
I think it's as safe as it gets.
I mean, yeah. Okay, that's true.
I'm not sure many people can say they've donated a pet to a taxidermist, and even less could say that they froze it and stuck it in the post. Please don't read my full name if this makes it to air. It's quite unique, and I'd rather not have the wrath of the postmasters upon me.
You don't want that.
There is no statute of limitations
on
frozen animal sending.
No.
And sorry, I have forwarded this to the Postmaster General.
You don't want to be in the wing where they keep the frozen taxidermy senders. the frozen taxidermy posters.
Yeah, because those guys come up with some crazy escape plans.
They really do.
It's usually freezing themselves and then trying to post themselves out of the prison. And
yeah,
it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's just that. It's just that. Maybe,
that's the one.
Now and again, they breadcrumb themselves, try and smuggle themselves out as a massive fish finger.
As far as it goes.
Okay, it's time for Listener Bollocking of the Week.
Accessing Listener Bollocking. Bollocking loading. Bollocking loaded.
This is a classic. We've had lots of bollocks on this topic. A full constellation of galaxy of bollocks have come in. I'm just going to pick one at random.
Of course, some of these bollocks, they look like bollocks, but actually, they
imploded just millions of years ago.
They actually don't exist anymore, but they still shine their beautiful, albeit judgmental light on us. Yeah.
Matt writes, "Hi Beans. In the latest time travel episode, Henry describes how it's important to specify location alongside a date while time traveling. As you wouldn't, for example, travel to the Jurassic period and open a door and see a T-Rex wrestling a Stegosaurus."
Yeah, good point so far. Don't see any issues here.
He's technically correct.
Oh no, is this about Jurassic eras? I've got a feeling that there's a risk of this leading to a 20-minute rebuttal from Henry.
I'm ready for it.
Just the way you see him gearing up.
He's like a coiled spring, isn't he?
To be honest, I think there should be a bollock amnesty for topics like time travel. Even the greatest scientist of our age.
You see, he's already off.
Here he goes.
He's not even been bollocked
yet. Even the greatest scientist of our age. I'm talking about people like Robin Ince. I'm talking about people like the guy who does the... Brooks doesn't have to be taxing those ads. I'm talking about
that was Moira Stewart, wasn't it?
James Cameron. I'm talking about
Henry. At least wait to be bollocks.
We know that if you travel as fast as the speed of light, you go faster. The light rays coming off you are faster than you, which means you're behind your.
He's technically correct, but not for the reason he intended.
Yeah.
As any casual dinosaur enthusiast will tell you, Stegosaurus did live in the Jurassic period, but the T-Rex lived in the Cretaceous period. I don't think he knew that. Hence, a semi-bollock is in order. I don't know why you're calling that a semi-bollock, Matt. That's a full bollock.
For Matt,
yeah.
Your intellect is Matt, whereas mine is shiny. Zing. Boom.
Yeah.
Zing, boom, boom.
Okay.
But?
Because?
Well,
although
he's saying they're from different different periods. It's too, A, well, for one thing, it's too long ago, to be sure. B, so long ago. Also, even carbon dating doesn't even really make sense if you think about it, because everything's made of carbon, so it all deteriorates at the same rate anyway. C, this, I feel like dinosaurs feel a bit far-fetched at all. Do you know what I mean? They really do feel far-fetched.
Wow. You've hit the nuclear button here.
It's like literally there was a sci-fi. We're trying to say. Really we're trying to say. Age.
Fully Trumpian.
We're basically saying that age.
He's gone fully Rogan on this.
There was basically a sci-fi.
You're not wrong because dinosaurs never existed.
Yeah, well, saying. Okay. Let's see in the column. You know, the case for dinosaurs. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Earth basically used to be covered.
Also, I mean, Henry, how can you be sure even that this bollocking exists? You know, how can you be sure that Ben and I even exist?
Well, really? We didn't have to push it that far, but we could, and I can, and I might, and I have in the past. But in the column for dinosaurs existing, right? Here's what we're being expected to believe. Oh yeah, the Earth used to be basically a sci-fi film, covered in huge, muscly animals that were constantly attacking each other in a very sort of thrusting kind of like action film way. Huh. Interesting. That sounds like a sort of sci-fi film or a kind of fantasy film that what kind of people are talking about this theory and know lots about it? Oh, quite sort of slightly dweeby men. Oh, who also like fantasy films and things where there are muscly animals, e.g. Godzilla. Is that offensive? Is it a bit offensive about dweeby men?
No, I follow your logic.
Okay,
I follow the logic. Yeah.
So essentially,
it's not a strong argument.
It was like a big, sci-fi film, a big fantasy, animals wrestling, muscly, you know, winged beasts with scales on them and stuff,
with phallocentric calcified weapons on their heads.
Thank you very much. Lovely. Oh, when did this happen? So we can analyse the evidence and stuff. Oh, sorry, it was really, really, really long time ago, ages ago, actually. Yeah. Yeah, right. What? But in a different era, was it before? Yeah. That's a coincidence, isn't it? Oh, we can't actually have that many organic remains of it. It's just the bones, which anyone could make by eating enough, by collecting enough bones from eating chickens. Just boil down chicken after you've eating a chicken, you boil down the bones, you can craft that into a new one. Anyone could do that in their spare time. It's not a big deal.
How many chickens per brontosaurus leg?
Well, we're splitting hairs, aren't we? We're starting to talk about eras of these things. A, they might not have existed. B, it's ages ago. C, just chill out, mate.
I was going to come to your aid, Henry.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, sorry.
You've kind of disgraced yourself, so...
I've taught myself how to... Sorry.
I was going to read an email from
several ABCDs. Well, I was on my second ABCD by the
you
end
did.
There.
Yeah,
I did several
yeah.
ABCDs, so I don't know how they relate to each other. You so did. What was that, Ben?
Well, George emailed...
Is this the same George?
As...
Well, as the initial email.
The one from the giant peach?
That's James and the giant peach, you fool.
Ah, good, let's change it. Let's get the focus onto Mike. You idiot. Oh, I suppose that's the new editions of they've had to release a new edition of Roald Dahl's now where he's actually called George in case a reader called James George, in case a reader called George is reading James and Giant Peach and goes, why isn't the character called James George? So apparently they've released all books now and you can get the characters named whatever you want. They've had to release an edition.
What the hell's happening? George writes,
sorry.
Dear Beans, you may receive a number of attempted bollockings from inattentive listeners regarding Henry's description of a T-Rex wrestling a Stegosaurus.
Oh, I love it when this happens.
They may protest that the Tyrannosaurus is from the Cretaceous period and is indeed closer in time to humans than it is to the Stegosaurus, which was in the Jurassic period.
Okay.
That's interesting to me.
Nice stuff.
However, Henry clearly stated just before this image that he was speaking in the context of science fiction fantasies.
Oh, come to mama.
Please deploy this anticipatory dinosaur reflectobollock if required.
Come to mama, hug me to your chest, mama's chest.
Thank you.
for that. Ben, I mean, I feel if you'd read that out earlier, we could have saved quite a lot of time.
Yes.
And,
thank you for that. I love it when
you
get these sort of vigilante bollocks sort of heroes.
It feels like it needs a jingle, doesn't it? Like we've got Reflector, we've got Accepto, but what is this?
Is it?
It's like a listener aided.
So it's
Reflector.
Like a kind of bollock ex machina. Yeah. Yeah. Saving the day, the white horse,
or it's
cavalry.
A bit. Or to me, it's a bit like the silhouette of a bollock. The silhouette of a bollock has been projected onto a sky,
into the sky,
onto the clouds, and in above Gotham.
Bat bollock,
and a bollock. Is it bollock hero?
Have you been bollocked, but it wasn't your fault? Then you better hope that coming your way is a vigilante bollock hero.
Thank you, Bollock Hero.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane?
Sir.
No, it's Bollock Boy.
Sir, we finished.
Swinging his vigilante bollock justice through the skies.
Sir, please.
Thank you, Bollock Boy.
So I think that's been dealt with all by itself then.
Yes, thank you, George.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Patreon.com/3beansalad.
Thank you to everyone who signed up on our Patreon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've realised every week we do this, I always say this in exactly the same way, in exactly the same words. And I fall into that trap of saying the same words every time.
So people will just tune out.
Yeah. Let me try and do it a different way. Hey, guys. Why don't you try going to a little URL I've heard about? It's called patreon.com/3beansalad.
It's very much in your Radio 2 mold, isn't it?
I wonder what could be found there. I hope that there will be a few different tiers that you could sign up for with different things that you get in return. So, for example, maybe ad-free episodes.
Bing.
A monthly bonus episode.
Bing.
Access to Sean Bean's perpetual colonoscopy.
Bing, 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 bing.
And what if there was an option to get a shout out from Mike in the Sean Bean Lounge where Mike was last night?
Oh, well, there's certainly that, Ben. Let me tell you. Because last night it was colonoscopy roulette. It certainly was. Thank you, Ben. And here's my report.
It was colonoscopy roulette at the Sean Bean Lounge last night, with Harve D as the shit-smeared croupier and Lawrence Jenkin donating his smoothest gallstone as the ball. The first spin was a lucky one and saw Caden Joy walk away with a year's supply of oral purgatives, Anthony L take home 2 pints of arse lube ethically sourced from recycled bad burgers, and Adam Jones win a miniature adapted doormat for his anal verge. Rosie Mills Smith risked a phosphate enema on Red 13, but won a transverse colon landscape photography course due to take place over a weekend in the Cotswolds in Tom Hiddleston, but traded with Ben Stevens, who'd lost almost everything on Black 24, but was still in possession of an enviable collection of mahogany rectal spigots. Some bloke called Ellis James opted for the lucky dip spin, and came away with a robot sigmoidoscopy remotely operated from a Nissen hut in Nevada. Andras Fint, Matt Milross and Freddie Tapner all felt hard done by when Luke Pilko Pilkington won the capsule endoscopy video experience. Particularly when news broke that the tiny video-equipped capsule was to be swallowed by Jordan Fisher, who Matt Glover had described as having the Hadrian's Wall footpath of gastrointestinal tracts. But Pilko assented to Andras, Matt and Freddie being miniaturised by Jonathan Chafer's man compactor and sent within the capsule. All was well until the three tiny bean loungers parked the capsule in Jordan's biliary tract and declared it an independent state. At which point Danielle Green generously donated the endoscopic retrograde cholangiopancreatogram she'd won off Tom Gard in an unrelated game of Thumb War, and they were dislodged and incinerated. Toby Herring bet the house on red and was thrilled to obtain a CT colonoscopy, brackets ascending colon only, close brackets, but was excessively insufflated by Jessie Ross, who'd been sold what she thought was medical CO2 by Megan Looker, but what turned out to be a mixture of helium and methane prepared by Stuart MacDonald for his FTSE 100 agricultural-themed party balloon business, causing Toby to rocket into the chandelier bought by Jack Oliver for Sean Bean's GoldenEye 27th anniversary party, at which point Toby promptly exploded. Andy Welch spilt his Cinzano on the roulette table and was punished with a rigid proctoscopy and internal vibe cauterization without anaesthesia. Thanks all.
Can I just say something that's genuinely happened?
Yes.
You know, my Santander bike, which I left, was a mistake on the sort of porch area outside the house here, has disappeared.
Yeah. Ooh.
Opening me up to a £3,000 fine.
No. Oh, no, no, no.
I don't know what happens. I've only been using them for a bit, but I the dock was so far from here that I couldn't be bothered to put it in there and then walk here. So I just left it outside. I thought it's like as if I'm hiring it for like the day.
Oh, so it was like still active?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Can you see where it is on your app?
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, that's a good question.
I think there's a button on the app and you press it and it says airstrike.
It seems to be making a bid for Mexico.
I think maybe Henry just someone else took it and...
That's what I think, but I don't know if they
started using it.
I don't know if they work like that. Are they ones that you can... Like, because that's Lime Bike, is that? You leave them around and people pick them up and use them.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true of Santander bikes. Do you know, Ben? Did you ever use them?
I've got no idea, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I hope someone's just picked it up and started using it, but I don't know if that's how it works.
Oh, God.
I hope so.
It could be that someone's stolen it and is using it in a crime, but then they'll think it's you doing the crime because you're linked to the bike with your credit card.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the start of a wonderful thriller, isn't it?
It's the start of a wonderful Grisham. Yeah. Well, while Henry thinks about that for the rest of the day and...
While Henry's having a worse afternoon than you...
we're going to sign off.
Let's enjoy a theme tune.
Yeah, so we're going to play a version of our theme tune sent in by one of you, the listeners. And I think we're going to go for this one from Dom. Please find attached another completely generic rock version of your theme.
I mean, that's absolutely delightful news as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, thank you, Dom. See you next time. Bye.
Bye. Brilliant. Thank you. Thanks all. Cheerio.